Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Why? Because the customer comes first. They're going to find you the best insurance that fits your needs, and they're going to find it for you at the best price that fits your budget. And then if there's a claim, they act as if it happened to them. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, by the way, will take place on May 3rd. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Hawks win in four overtimes.
Malcolm towards the lane. He goes in the lane. Throws it in the corner. Tim Hardaway takes it to the hole. Scoops it up. No good. Rebound is underneath. Paul Millsap. He goes back up and in. Paul Millsap gives the Hawks the lead. 141 to 139. Lee fires the three and misses. Rebound loose. They get it back in the corner. Lee fakes. Now shoots the three again. And he misses. The rebound. Paul Millsap. And that's the game. And the Atlanta Hawks have won the quadruple overtime game here in Atlanta. They defeat the New York Knicks. Final score of 142 to 139 in four overtimes.
Steve Holman with the 68-minute NBA game last night. Also going to use the Villanova call at the end, too, yesterday when they won at the tip-in. As I mentioned, obviously I saw Villanova in person when I did the Penn State Pitt game, that doubleheader in Newark. The Never Forget games. One thing you notice about Villanova, they never panic. Never. It's one thing, it just really impressed. They just always feel that they're going to get something done they did yesterday. Chris Spielman joins us from Fox Sports. It's always a pleasure to have Chris on the show. Chris, welcome back. It's great to hear you again.
Oh, it's good. I love being Charles' warm-up back. I understand you have Charles coming up soon, and that's awesome. He does a great job, and a lot of fun working with him this year.
See, this is like Mariano Rivera before, you know,
yeah,
before exactly. John Wetland came in.
I'm the setup man. I love it.
And remember, the setup man eventually became the closer.
We had a great year. He's a pro, man. I'll tell you, I had probably one of the best years of broadcasting in my life with working with he and Tom and our whole crew. And you know, Steve, I think you've probably done it in the past where three-man crews aren't easy. And, right. You know, I was the third guy coming in, and both Charles and Tom were great teammates, and they welcomed me, and we made it work, and I thought it worked pretty well.
No, I mean, and that's what's interesting about that. I'm glad you brought that up because it's not easy to do unless you have the right people. And it sounds to me, and Tom's a great lead, but it sounds like you had the right people.
Well, we did. In order for any booth to be good, whether it's a three-man booth or the two-man booth that I did with Sean, is that you have to put egos aside. And even when Sean got the Monday night gig, I felt like, you know, that I was a part of that because, you know, that's your partner. And, you know, their success is your success. And that's how you look at it. Any team sport or any team game, and I consider, I don't know what you do, but knowing a little bit about you and knowing a little bit about your background, that, you know, as a broadcaster, it's a team game. And that's why I think I loved it so much and why I got into it, because you're doing it for others. And you look good, they look good. You look bad, they look bad. So you're accountable not only for yourself, but more importantly, you're accountable to your teammates, and in this case, your broadcast partners. And that's something that I think Tom takes very seriously and Charles did also.
I mean, as you know, I'm with Jack Ham on football and then Dick Girardi on basketball. It's interesting. I was talking I teach a sports broadcasting class here at Penn State, and it's interesting you bring that up because I told them it was really important that they should always desire to work with somebody that makes them better. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the biggest compliment I paid Sean when I worked with Sean is that he forced me to be better because of his knowledge and because of his preparation. And he forced me to match him as far as every little thing. And the other thing is, I think it's important for each guy to know their role. Like when there's a big moment happening in the game or big time play or history is being made, then it's important for the analyst to step aside and let the play-by-play guy do his job in documenting that moment in history. That's what the play-by-play guy is trained for. That's what he does. That's what his area of expertise is. And the other thing is, for a play-by-play guy, and Tom was terrific at this, is, and for all your listeners out there that are basketball fans, the play-by-play guy, to me, is the ultimate point guard, where, you know, he sets everything up, and he dishes, and he sets the table and then gets out of the way and lets you do your job as far as telling, and this is the key for any future analysts out there. The whole key is, so many guys tell us what happened. There's not many that tell us why it happened.
Exactly.
And if you can tell why something happened or why a play broke down or why a play was successful, then that's what will set you apart. I can see the guy made a great catch. Why did he make a great catch? Why was he open? Where was the breakdown? And where was the execution? And that's what I think sets guys apart in our business.
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't have said that any better. That's well encapsulated as to what
speaker.
It really is. All right, so that makes the transition. You saw the Atlanta Falcons. So we know about Matt Ryan. There are certain known entities. Why were the Falcons as good as they were outside of the known entities?
Well, the unknown entities. Taylor Gabriel, for example. How about this stat? 13 guys have caught multiple touchdowns from Matt Ryan. Okay, so Matt Ryan, then that tells you that Atlanta makes you defend the whole field and defend more than one guy, especially when they get into the red zone. The offensive line stayed relatively healthy the whole year. The biggest addition to, I think, Atlanta was the addition of Alex Mack, who was an all-pro center at Cleveland, then comes over to Atlanta and is an all-pro center there. And when you watch Alex Mack, we say, okay, well, Hawkins and Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, we all get that because we all see that. But what we don't see is Tevin Coleman and Freeman running and not getting touched until they're 3 or 4 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And those two guys also being able to make that eighth person in the box or the on-block defender miss a lot of times. And the reason why they're able to do that is because Alex Mack can get off the double-team blocks and get up to the second level on a linebacker or safety and create those holes, which allow the non-contact on the running backs until they're 3 or 4 yards down the field. So the running game was very key for Atlanta this year.
You mentioned in that answer about what Gabriel did this year. When the Steelers played the Patriots, obviously everyone knows about Antonio Brown, but they don't have a complement on the other side. What has Mohamed Sanu meant as a complement, as a plan B guy that is really good, that can make a difference?
Well, first of all, he's a difficult matchup because of his size and his strength. Then what I like about Mohamed is that he's a pro guy where he knows what his role is, and he doesn't try to outplay his role. And the other thing that really stands out is when he goes over the middle, he goes over that middle fearless. And a lot of guys will say they're fearless going over the middle, and I did enough NFL games that there are a few guys that still have a little bit of question when they go over the middle, with even all the rules in place to protect those guys. But not only Mohamed Sanu and what he's been in, Taylor Gabriel and whatever host of other young wide receivers they throw in there, but Toilolo, the tight end at 280 pounds, 6'8", 280. How about Austin Hooper, the other tight end from Stanford? That's, I think, a second-year guy out of Stanford that's been a really nice asset for them. And they've run the screen game as well as anybody in the NFL. Then when you add the fact that you have to account for Sanu and Julio Jones and Gabriel and Toilolo and Austin Hooper, guess who they love matchups out of the backfield? When you put Tevin Coleman or Antonio Freeman in a one-on-one matchup or even line them up a slot, they're going to win their battles most of the time, especially in third and two, third and three, when teams are forced to play man-to-man.
Matt Ryan. Now, we know Tom Brady. I think it's pretty simple to say that Tom Brady knows what the other 21 chess pieces on the board are doing around him. Is Matt Ryan now at that point where he knows where all 21 are as well, Chris, in your opinion?
I think he's been at that point, and just, you know, where he sees the field. And he and Kyle Shanahan struggled, I think, last year at times, as far as, and I mean this in a kind of a slang sort of way, but speaking the same language, where they see what each other sees and they know what each other wants to do and what they think. And it kind of took them toward the end of last year, and these are not my words, these are Kyle's words, where they finally got in sync, and they were in sync this year from the get-go. Their offense never really struggled. And the other thing, when you talk about Atlanta, and I saw it early on, their defense at the beginning of the year was a weakness, and now their defense is more than adequate. They're not great, but they're more than adequate to be able to win. Whether it's Vic Beasley Jr. coming off the corner, I think he had 15 or 16 and a half sacks to end the year. Deion Jones, or I believe his name, the middle linebacker who's really grown into that position. Then of course the rookie first rounder Keon O'Neill out of Florida, number 22, is a free safety. I believe that's his number. He is as good as there gets at that position. And what they can do really well is that they can line up and you can take a free safety, and he's not a liability when you put him in over a slot receiver in coverage. So they're a man-to-man team. So they won't be like Pittsburgh where they'll be sitting in zones. They'll get up and they'll challenge those Patriot wide receivers, and they'll try to take away all that little underneath dink and duck stuff that New England does so well.
And against Pittsburgh, yeah, you're right. They played zone, and he were able to find all sorts of open alleys in the zone.
Yeah.
Do you feel Atlanta has enough, Chris, where they can get pressure on Brady so he makes decisions a little bit quicker than he normally would want to?
I think they have enough where they understand who they are, where they won't panic. And what helps the defense is knowing, especially a young defense, when you're talking about two rookies and middle linebacker and free safety in the middle of the field, is that what helps them is they know that they have an offense that can get in a track meet and win and score. And I do think that in today's day and age of the NFL, Steve, is that if you understand teams are going to move the ball from the 30 to 30. We all get that. And usually good offenses do. Atlanta will do it against New England, and New England will do it against Atlanta. And so it's your red zone defense. That's where the game's going to be won. And can you hold a team to field goals and keep them out of the end zone? Because both these offenses are very explosive, and they can put a lot of points on the board.
You played against a lot of great quarterbacks in your career. You've broadcast a lot of games with great quarterbacks. What are a couple of things about Brady that do make him a separate entity compared to maybe either some guys you played against or you broadcast and watched?
I think I was actually thinking about this because somebody was talking. I was at church or coming out of mass the other day, and everybody wants to ask me football questions. And a guy came up to me and asked me about Brady. And I said, the obvious things. I mean, he knows the offense. He spreads the ball around. But what sets him apart? And you think about it. Tom Brady takes average guys, number two and number three wide receivers, and makes them superstars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you take a quarterback from Kent State in 2009 that was a JUCO transfer, and Julian Edelman. And he comes in, and it's a credit to Julian because he works his rear end off and he's reliable. And he makes Julian Edelman a star. A guy, Hogan, who was cast off by the Miami Dolphins, who the Buffalo Bills didn't want him. And he comes in against Pittsburgh and sets records. I mean, that says something about Tom Brady of taking average guys, and average, relatively speaking, they're NFL players, so... You know what I'm saying, but I'm not downgrading them by average, but relatively speaking, they're not Julio Jones. And he's turning these guys into incredible, productive players because he's that good, where his game raises everybody else's game. And there's not a lot of quarterbacks in this league that can do that.
In fact, I watched for 3 years Chris Hogan play lacrosse here. So,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what, I mean, let's face it. He's had Randy Moss for a period of time, but that really is the top out where Brady's had in terms of the great legendary receiver. That's it. I mean,
yeah. And
he's had
and
Andre Patton.
Now he's had a great tight end.
He's had, that's always yeah. made good.
And he had a great tight end, but he, you know, Gronk is never, you know, he's not going to make it through a season. It just ain't going to happen. And when he's healthy, they're that explode. And the other thing about the Patriots, which is well documented for anybody that follows the NFL, it's amazing, and it's a credit to Bill Belichick and his leadership. Those guys get in line. You know, LeGarrette Blount, who, you know, I don't think is going to be up for the NFL Man of the Year award anytime soon, he falls in line.
That's right.
Any guy that comes there, they all fall in line, and they do it that way. And they all buy in, and if they don't buy in, they're out. But it doesn't matter because you have arguably, you know, a top three quarterback in the history of the NFL, in a coach in a system that has been in place that has proven success. So when guys come there, they, even though what their ego may be, their ego is put second to the team's success, and that's what everybody strives for. And I don't think anybody knows how difficult that is to achieve in an NFL locker room where everybody buries their ego for the good of the team. And this, yeah. they've been able to do that in New England for a long time.
One final question, I'll let you go. Thanks a lot for the time. I really appreciate it. As we watch the game on Sunday, give us a couple things, Chris, that we should be looking for that will be a tip-off as to how the game plays out.
Well, I think if Atlanta doesn't panic on defense, and if things don't go their way, just hang in there, and that you'll make some adjustments, and understand that if New England's moving the ball, don't get frustrated. They do that against everybody. Then with Atlanta's offense, and you know, to me, they love to do, count how many times they'll do bootleg on first down off the play action to get something going, to get something positive. I would say they average that 3 or 4 times. And if they can run the ball, that play becomes that more effective. I don't want to be cliche here, but Atlanta's key is Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. I mean, that's the sexy part. The ugly part is that offensive line in both Coleman and Freeman. Those guys will run, and they run angry. And the beautiful thing about it is that every time they run the ball, they're competing for another carry because they know they got somebody breathing down their back. And they don't like coming out for each other. They support each other, don't get me wrong,
right.
but they want all the carries, and they run like that. And just watch their effort when they run. Watch the second and third effort of Freeman and see if he ever ducks out of bounds, or is he going to put his head down and try to run somebody over for another inch. They fight and crawl and scratch for every inch on the football field, and that's a joy to watch.
Sure is. Chris, I always enjoy the talks very much. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it very much.
All right. Tell Charles he's the best, man. I love that you have us on. And keep it up. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chris. And we will pass it along to Charles. We'll come back with more in a moment. Charles Davis, his broadcast partner this past season, along with Tom Brenneman, is going to join us in the final half hour. Just one quick note. Sean in the suit evidently was canceled based on the text I got from Drew. Is that true?
It is what it is. We'll deal with it.
I don't understand why it never got off the ground. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you're looking for a new Ford vehicle in Central PA, there's only one dealer with 4 city blocks of new Ford. It's Sunbury Motors Ford. SMC is where you want to be with over 90 new F-150s priced from just $24,824. See for yourself why Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 trucks. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 70 new Ford SUVs in stock with 2017 Ford Escapes on sale from only $19,880. SMC has 45 new Ford cars with Ford Fiestas starting as low as $13,900.
$375. Plus, financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months on select models. You deserve to deal with the best. Sunbury Motors Ford. SMC is the dealer voted best in the Valley Reader's Choice for best car dealership,
best body shop,
and best quick service. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. SMC. Satisfying more customers since 1915.
Great to have you with us today. Charles Davis in just a few moments. You're talking about not only two great pros, but two of the genuinely nicest guys in the business. They do not get nicer than Chris Spielman or more caring than Chris Spielman. And Charles Davis is one of the nicest guys I've ever encountered, period. I mean, just terrific to be around these guys and to have them on the show. You know, they give great perspective, intelligent. So it's our privilege to have them on, and hopefully you're enjoying it. Recruiting will be Wednesday. That's National Letter of Intent Day. And, yes, one of the 16 locations chosen by ESPN on National Letter of Intent Day will be Penn State. So that will be, you know, so if you want to tune into that, and obviously we'll have guests surrounding that as well. Next half hour, the outstanding Charles Davis from Fox Sports. Talk about virtually anything. I mean, he's been a basketball analyst, college football analyst, and, of course, the NFL. We're going to get into the Super Bowl and talk to him about the two teams this week. Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. You have to have a great relationship with your insurance agent. I just described Purdy Insurance, best people to work with, because they'll do the best job for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
On the surface, that sounded impressive. Great to have you with us today on the show, brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's will find you the right insurance at the best price, and if there's a claim, they'll act as if it happened to them. That's what you want from your insurance agent. That is Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, and you can always go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and very pleased to be joined by the outstanding Charles Davis from Fox Sports. Chris Spielman sends all of his best and also says that you were a great teammate all season long to work with.
Well, that's nice of him to say. The feeling is definitely mutual. I had a blast. Learned a ton from being around him, not just on air, but off air. And just the ability to spend that time and forge a friendship, which to me is paramount above everything else. But he's the best. He's absolutely the best. And, you know, people who never got to see him play, well, they really missed out. I mean, he was some kind of a football player. And he, of course, was at Ohio State before the Penn State joined the Big Ten. So a lot of those fans didn't get to see him in person like that. And probably happy they didn't have to try and run the ball against him.
Oh, I know that for a fact. I know that for you. You don't want to do that. Charles, when you look at how it played out for Atlanta this year, we'll start with them. We'll start with the NFC team. What were a couple of things that you felt in the end were swing things for Atlanta that allowed them to ascend to be a team that's in this game instead of a team that is as an also-ran?
I'll pick three things, okay, so I can keep it somewhat limited. Number one, offensive line, I think, is the reincarnation of the offensive line they had under Mike Smith when they were really good. Just look at them, all the positions, center, the two guards, the tackles. There are a lot of similarities there, and they played better and better as this season went on. So rebuilding that offensive line, number one. Number two, I thought Matt Ryan's ability to put his ego aside and try and become a better quarterback and do the things that Kyle Shanahan wanted him to do for their offense. And over a two-year period, he accomplished them in a big way. I mean, look at him in the last ball game. Four touchdown passes, one rushing. Very few quarterbacks have accomplished that in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers is one. Peyton Manning is another. And I believe Tobin Rope was another one. Tobin Rope. Okay, so you got to go back to like 1957 for that. So
he was the Detroit Lions quarterback their last championship. Yep.
Exactly, following Bobby Lane. So yep. His ability to become a better athlete, because Kyle thought he had it in him, and then Matt was able to get that done, I thought that was huge. And last but not least was the improvement of the defense, because the numbers aren't going to jump out at you. In fact, when you look at the numbers, I think they are the highest scoring defense in terms of points given up in a Super Bowl since 2008 with the Arizona Cardinals. But that's not the real story. Go over the last 8 to 10 games, including playoffs, and you'll see points per game are down, turnovers, takeaways are up, and that's where I think that they're really good. Vic Beasley had 15 and a half sacks, and that's a story in and of itself as a second-year guy. But Steve, he had 6 forced fumbles. That's the key.
Right.
Knocking the ball away, taking it away from people, and Atlanta got better at that as the season went on. So those are the three things I center in on with the Falcons and why they're sitting in the big game.
Charles, when they acquired Alex Mack from Cleveland, what was the domino effect of having him in the middle to start plays?
You know, it's funny because Chris and I, when we did games of theirs, that was one of the things he wanted to hit on really hard right from the beginning, and he did a fantastic job of it. You know, Alex Mack takes a lot of pressure off of Matt Ryan. As a quarterback, you have so much on your plate, and when you have a center who's an all-pro guy, you know, perennial Pro Bowl guy with Cleveland, who can make line calls for you, take that pressure off of your plate, help you out in seeing other things, settle down the offensive linemen in front, give them confidence. And then in the running game, handle, whether it's handling a big nose right over the top of him or climbing to really help jumpstart things well. Chris pointed out a lot of that really, really efficiently in the games we did. And the one capper that I had, and I said, here's the thing I love about it, too. He was a perennial Pro Bowl guy in the AFC with Cleveland. But, you know, between conferences, even though it's not like, you know, baseball when interleague play became such a big deal, there's still a difference in people knowing you one conference to another. In one season in Atlanta, he went back to the Pro Bowl as voted by mainly NFC guys. And I thought that was a testament to his play as well. So he gave them a ton of confidence. And look, Matt Ryan had it with Todd McClure, and now he's got it back again with Alex Mack, and that's a big, big deal for their offense.
Charles, we know in watching the Steelers play the Patriots, Tom Brady picked that zone apart. The Falcons are a primary man team, albeit young. What kind of difference does scheme make in a game like this?
Well, the scheme makes a difference if you're able to stay with those receivers, and that's what's going to be the fun part of watching the New England play. They are so smart, skilled, heady at what they do in route running, but you always feel like athletically you might have an advantage on them. I don't think it's as pronounced as what people think. You get into a game, Steve, and you think, hey, I can jump on Julian Edelman, and he makes a more athletic play than you and beats you. Hey, I can jump on Danny Amendola, Chris Hogan, those guys can't do that. Well, there's a lot of, you know, as you and I both know, there's a lot of stereotypes that go along with positions in the league. What you have to learn is that those guys are athletic. They do make plays. They have great movement skills. But here's where Atlanta, because they play primarily man, can they plaster to them well enough that they can't uncover latent routes and beat you, that you can make enough contested plays on the ball? Jalen Collins will have one corner on lockdown. On the other side is Robert Alford, and Brian Poole is your nickel. The guy I would most be concerned with if I'm Atlanta would be Alford. I think he may be the most talented of the three, but Steve, he's really handsy. And if you go back over the last 2 to 3 seasons and see the number of penalties that he's accumulated,
he's way
guaranteed,
up there.
Guaranteed we're in the 20s, probably pushing into the 30s if you go into a 3-season deal. And if you get those hands penalties at the worst possible time, keep drives alive for New England, those things will cost you. You know, he's the guy that I'll guarantee that next year in training camp, Dan Quinn's going to have in boxing gloves to try and get him from being so handsy with receivers.
In fact, if I recall correctly, he may have led the league, I think, with a dozen of those type penalties this year.
Yep.
That's a big problem.
I believe it. That's a big deal for them because he can make so many plays, and he likes to make plays on the ball, which is good. But sometimes he's grabbing and pushing and doing things with guys downfield. And let's just be honest about it. You go back way back when, the Patriots guys, they know how to draw those penalties. They know how to get them because they are a physical group of receivers more than they get credit for. And they will not just be knocked off of their routes easily.
When you look at the Patriots defense, everybody talks obviously a lot about Brady, but when you look at the Patriots defense, what makes them as efficient as they are?
You and I are old enough to probably go back to the no-name defense of the Dolphins.
Absolutely. Bob Matheson, Vern Den Herter, name it.
You name it, right? But they were much better than what people knew in terms of individual players. They just didn't get the credit for it, right? Which is why they call themselves the no-name defense.
Right.
Well, if you start to look, if Alan Branch plays the way that he has played in the playoffs over the nose and dominates the middle and makes it hard to run the football, that allows those linebackers, the Dante Hightowers and crew, to get downhill and smack you in the run game. It takes some of the pressure off of the secondary, which they're going to need to do because of the high flyers that Atlanta has. But I think the sum of that defense is way better than the individual parts. And remember, they're the number one scoring defense in the league.
That's right.
I mean, Rob Ninkovich, and I love his story, was a special teams demon. And they worked so hard in practice that they wanted to reward him with some plays on defense on the field, in games. And everybody keeps saying, well, you don't do that kind of thing in the NFL. Well, certain programs do. And he took those plays and parlayed them into a starting position. And now there's times he's unblockable off the edge. That's what that defense does. And they have a great ability, and it's really overblown sometimes. But they really do have a great ability to make you do things that you don't normally do in order to beat them. They don't let you beat them with your best, and that's a big, big deal for them. So this is going to be fun to watch, to see how they try and blunt this Atlanta speed, because I think that's where Atlanta has the advantage. And if Atlanta gets into an opportunity where they can get a lot of the base defense stuff, the linebackers on the field, and get a Coleman or a Freeman out of the backfield, that'll be a matchup that Atlanta will exploit. But New England always seems to have different answers to make you do different things in order to try and beat them.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, one guy at linebacker in particular, when he was at Alabama and Penn State played Alabama, I saw Dante Hightower play. Physical and quick, and to me, you can see in the Patriots scheme what a difference maker he can be based on his positioning on the field.
Yeah, and you're right. I think your last statement was perfect, positioning on the field. Because one of the things that he did at Alabama, of course, was hold down the middle. But there's a lot of time in their defense that they would have him drop down and put his hand on the ground and become a pass rusher.
Exactly.
And that's the thing about that scheme versatility that they have, because so much is made of New England and their ability to up the tempo and go from a normal speed on offense to a faster speed. And Pittsburgh talked about how that gave them problems, which still flabbergasts me. Like, you guys have not watched New England over the years? I mean, what? So, but if you flip it around, I think Atlanta's going to want to play at a very high speed, too. I think they're going to want to play quickly and try and make sure that they can keep doing their things and keeping certain defenders on the field for New England. But the thing about New England is guys like Hightower do have scheme flexibility where they can be an inside linebacker on this type of snap versus this formation, maybe move outside for another one, become a pass rusher in a third. So that's why even if you want to play fast and you keep guys on the field, they have a lot of guys who can do multiple things, a lot of hybrids, and that's a big deal for New England in this game.
I watched Chris Hogan play lacrosse here for 3 years, okay, and now I'm watching him play, about to watch him play in the Super Bowl. He's another one of those guys who bumped around the league a little bit, and then when he finally got his chance, he parlayed it into a free agent opportunity and went to New England. What it looks to me, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, it looks to me like with Gronk out, they flipped him into Gronk's spot, and he's actually running Gronk's slot routes. Is that correct?
I think that's correct because he's a bigger guy. Now, was he a midi? Was he an attack guy? What was he?
Started out attack, then went midfield at Penn State. Is last year here?
Okay, so what little I know about lacrosse, meaning I love the sport, but I'm not going to sit here and pass myself off as an expert. But I do know that those are the guys that control things. Okay.
Yep.
And they're also the guys that have to be very elusive with the ball, you know, and they've got to get it, set plays, make people miss, get it off to other people, et cetera, et cetera. That's what you see with him in running patterns. I think that's one of the reasons he was able to translate from a lacrosse player to a wide receiver. What's your skill? Evading. What's your skill? Making people miss. Yeah. Excellent on his feet, excellent upper body, faking, moving, doing all those things that you would do in lacrosse. And obviously Bill Belichick has a great affinity for that. He played it himself in high school and college. I remember having a conversation with Coach Belichick where he was talking about his high school guidance counselor was also his high school lacrosse coach. And he told a funny story about if you wanted to really get into the school of your choice from his high school and he wanted you to play lacrosse, you'd best play lacrosse, because if you did, you might actually get to go to Harvard if you wanted to. And if you didn't, it was the University of Massachusetts. And I remember he laughed telling that story. He said, I'm really not kidding. He held a grudge if you didn't play and he wanted you to play. So, and you know, obviously, Coach Belichick's daughter is the head coach at Holy Cross, et cetera,
yep.
et cetera. But he puts a premium on that. And back to your original question, this was a long-winded way of saying, yes, I think you're right. You have to be able to replace people. Martellus Bennett can hold down and do other things as well. But now, with Gronk not there in that situation, you plug in a Chris Hogan, he runs those inside routes. A Michael Floyd, if he were more experienced in the offense, he would be a guy and a candidate because of his body size and type. But I think Hogan is the primary guy for that now.
Charles, it's always a pleasure. I always enjoy it. The audience loves it. Thanks so much for carving out a few minutes of your valuable time to be with us today. We appreciate it a lot.
Hey, Steve, always great to talk with you. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for having me on the same day as my teammate, Chris Spielman. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that worked out really well. Charles, thanks a lot.
All right, you be good, Steve. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
The outstanding Charles Davis. I've always enjoyed talking with them, and see what they want to do. Let's see what they want to do at Fox next year. I don't know what they've made up their mind about one way or the other, whether Charles might do some college games, Chris might do some college games, or whether they'll just keep them with the NFL. I don't know. I mean, there could be trips by those guys into a Penn State game next year once Fox and FS1 get the contract, or they may keep them with the NFL. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they want to do, because they've got a depth of talent at Fox that they've acquired over time. And Charles has been there for a long time now because he did the BCS National Championship games and so forth. And then, of course, getting Chris to make the move over as well, especially when Sean McDonough went to take the Monday Night Football job, which obviously for Sean McDonough and for ESPN worked out extremely well. Be interesting to see what they want to do. Because if they do end up doubling up maybe and doing some college as well as pro games, you may get the outstanding insight of each one of those guys doing some Penn State games on TV. We will come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, last hour, the pro football guests about as good as it gets, Chris Spielman and Charles Davis, both of Fox Sports, who work with the outstanding Tom Brenneman this year on Fox, and getting their perspective on New England and on Atlanta. A little bit more on Atlanta, only because I think for a couple reasons. Number one, as NFC announcers, they saw more of Atlanta in person. Number two, you probably know less about Atlanta than you know about New England. Okay? Still got a little bit about New England in there. Kim Jones, NFL Network, coming up on Wednesday. Mike Conti, Falcons Radio Network, on Friday. Matt Leon from Philadelphia on Wednesday. And that show will be from Bloomington, Indiana, by the way. Tomorrow, Nathan Davis, the Bucknell basketball coach, after their win over Army on Saturday that Dick from Milton referenced earlier in the show. We'll talk with Nathan about that. We'll also have a couple of guests on dealing with National Letter of Intent Day this week before it's all said and done. And usually on this show, there's a lot more said than done. By the way, the game is a 6:30 game, 6 o'clock airtime on Wednesday. So, is the Chief feeling better?
I think the Chief is feeling better, yes. They did send him a text late last week. He was more concerned that he didn't get anyone else sick. He was concerned he's putting other people in front of him. By the way, the Chief and Kevin tonight, we've got Belfont Shikellamy basketball here on WKOK. They'll be on about 7:09 tonight.
Good. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully Dave will get a chance to, you know, actually say a few words in the broadcast. Did you hear? I hope I can find this. This is, we did the game on Saturday. My broadcast partner, Dick Girardi, and Kevin texted me that the Chief wanted to be able to say blackjack on the air for leading by 21. Where is this doggone thing? I don't even know if they've got it in here or not. Oh, there it is in the database. I don't know which one it is. It's got two dunks in here. Oh, there you go. Here it is. All right, so not everybody can do it this way.
Behind a back pass, going toward the basket is one thing, like Terrence did earlier, but not out and on the court like that.
Behind the back pass, down 19. 21. Blackjack!
Watkins with a dunk. A dunking blackjack. I would call that the ace of hearts and the jack of clubs.
That's awesome.
He said to me during the commercial break, he says, I love how you just clear out of there. He said, you just let me go. I said, because it's better than anything I'd say. And you wonder why I love my job? I mean, really.
Life is good.
Behind a back pass, going toward the basket is one thing, like Terrence did earlier, but not out and on the court like that.
Behind the back pass, down 19. 21.
Blackjack! Mike Watkins with a dunk. A dunking blackjack. I would call that the ace of hearts and the jack of clubs.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.